This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to Big Gay Energy. I'm Bree.
I'm Theora.
And I'm Caitlin.
Come along with us while we dive into the fun and nuances of queer media. Representation matters, and we're here to talk about it.
Cheers, queers! What's on the big gay agenda today, Theora?
Well, today, we are finally going to talk about red, white, and royal blue.
Woo!
Yay! Yeah. So, because of the strike, we couldn't, we didn't want to do this sooner slash when the movie came out because scabbing is not cool. So we've waited to do it now, and we're going to talk about the movie and the book together because there's some fun differences and similarities and stuff, and we figured we'd just do it all in one episode. So if you have or have not seen or read the book, like, we're going to talk about both of them, so just a warning. If you're planning on watching, reading one, and don't want to be spoiled.
There's a lot more in the book, so make sure you've read the book if you want to read that book.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and you mind spoilers. If you don't mind spoilers, that's fine.
Welcome. Yeah, because we're going to talk about all of it. So, what is Red, White, and Royal Blue? If you're not familiar, it started as a novel written by Casey McQuiston, and it was recently adapted into a film on Amazon released in 2023. Overall, what it's about, it's this, like, I'm going by mostly the book when I'm describing this. So it's like a rivals to lovers rom-com starring Alex Claremont Diaz, who is the current son of the President of the United States of America, and Prince Henry of England. Not the crown prince, but like the second prince. These two were basically public figures since they were children, and the rivalry started a little differently depending on if you watch the movie or read the book. So it starts when Alex was 13 due to a royal snub at the Rio Olympics. If you watch the movie, it started at the 2021 Melbourne Climate Summit. In the movie, it's a few years before the movie starts. But since that time, the two have been fostering this rivalry until fate intervenes. And the two reunite at the royal wedding of Prince Philip, who's Henry's older brother and, like, the crown prince. And a $75,000 cake incident ensues and is caught on camera.
That's the basis of everything, though.
Yeah.
Fuck you, social media.
It's so, really the catalyst. It's like Archduke Ferdinand's assassination or the cake incident.
Yeah. So it's a little less murdery, but politically pretty damning. So because of this, the two are forced into this PR scheme where they have to behave as best bros. And through this ruse, the two get to know each other better. Oh, so much better.
Yeah. Amazing.
Very much better. Intimately, if you will.
Intimately, indeed. So before we just straight up spoil scenes, I thought we'd start with just, like, who is your favorite character? Like, we'll start with favorite character. Did you have a favorite character in the movie or book? Doesn't matter.
I guess Caitlin, go, since I saw your mouth open.
No, you can go.
No, I was just going to say Henry, period. I have a thing. I may have an obsession with like English history and different time periods in English history. You know, so Henry's going to be my obvious favorite. Plus, he's just sarcastic and adorable.
I mean, they're both great, but I'm Alex over Henry.
I knew. Well, obviously.
But neither one is my favorite.
Who's your favorite?
Zara and Amy.
Okay.
Okay.
That tracks just, for Caitlin.
I just really like their line. Their humor is freaking hilarious. And there's one point where I think Alex tells Zara, like, I could kiss you right now. And she's like, touch me and die.
No, that was all. Yeah.
What about you, Thay?
I agree with Henry. Henry is my favorite. Alex, so I do like his character. I especially like him in the book because you get both of them in the book, really, because you get more in depth about like why they are the way they are. And the book is written in Alex's point of view. So you're very much in Alex's head. And like the first time I read it, I was like, wow, Alex is really like full of himself. And I don't know if I'm digging this. But like, to contrast him with Henry, who's very repressed. I like the repressed character, usually.
Yeah.
That's who I enjoy.
That is our jam.
My jam. And to prep for this episode, I want to do a little show and tell with the collector's edition of the book. Because I heard there's extra chapters in it from Henry's point of view. And there are. But I just kind of want to, for those watching at home, if there's a collector's edition, and this thing is beautiful. So if you're a big fan of this and you weren't aware, I highly recommend going to get this. It's really cool. So if you take like the cover off, just it's blue. It's a hard cover and it says history, huh? And on the back that we could make some, like, it's so cute. And
I love that.
And this came out before the movie. On the inside cover, backside cover, there's illustrations of them.
The turkey!
It's so, I wasn't expecting this to be so freaking cute, but like the ones in the back too. Aww. Like, I know.
I like that one. Yeah.
I love that the history hunt is on it because it was such a big part of the book. You don't see it at all in the movie, right?
I love it so much. I'm very happy that
she is like the mistress of finding what's on the under the book's dust covers.
Because she takes those off to read them.
Well, I took it off, and then I was like, what? Like, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to ruin the dust covers. But you get an extra, like, I think 50-ish chapters, and it basically spans, like, 5 years.
50 chapters?
Oh, no, 50 pages, sorry.
Okay.
50 pages.
I was like, that's a book thing?
They're chapters? There's only 50 chapters in the book.
50 pages. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to get everybody excited about that. And it basically spans like 5 years after the book ends, and it goes through like their life and like, spoiler, they end up getting engaged and like married.
Of course
and
they
stuff.
Do.
And it just goes, Henry's just having all these like memories, and it's getting his point of view is really cute. I love him.
I thought it was his point of view like during the book. So that's interesting that it's like a continuation of it.
Yeah, but she switches to Henry, which is very cute because you don't really. So it's like them in New York and like.
Oh, did I say Alex?
No, you said Henry.
Henry. Okay, cool. I have a habit of mixing people's names up.
And there's a queer spoiler at that section, and I'll spoil you guys when we like get to it.
Okay.
Is fun. Okay.
Okay.
So, all right. You didn't like, really. David's not your favorite. Caitlin?
We David's didn't get also enough famous. Of David.
Huh?
We didn't get enough of David for me to like have him be my favorite. Like that's now if David had his own scene and subplot, like, but we saw more Zara and Amy, but I wish we also saw more Beatrice in the movie.
Yeah, I agree.
In because the movie, Beatrice is enough. So much more in the book, and it's just
the relationships. I have this in another section. It's really hard not to like skip sections.
I know.
Anyway.
That's all right. But yeah, I agree. I understand why the movie had to like cut things and condense, which is why I'm glad we have the book, because it just, it fleshes out a lot of other things where it's like, oh man, I wish we had that. But for time wise, I get why we don't.
Yeah. There's a reason why all the other plots were cut out. That I'll talk
about
later.
A lot of them were super cut out. So speaking of book versus movie, let's jump first to Alex and Henry, because like they are the center of both things and very much the center of the movie for obvious reasons. So what did you think of their rivalry, quote unquote, specifically between like the book and the movie? So I have thoughts about this.
Wait, hold on. I'm just okay. Because we skipped our favorite moments.
But okay. I guess, what's your favorite? I thought that was later, but that's okay. Okay, what was your, sorry, go back. What was your favorite moment of the book / movie?
Well, I mean, you brought up the dog. So it was when Alex doesn't like the name of Henry's dog. And then it ends up with him looking at photos of Amy's dog. And it's just the whole scene and the way she's like, hey, I forget what her dog's name is, but she's like, Alex says like, but he's really cute. And she says, yeah, he is. You want to see a picture? And then start looking at pictures.
That was a cute moment in the movie. It didn't exist in the book. I did like that moment a lot.
Yes. I was very upset that was not in the book. So I'm really glad they added it, because Amy took over Cash.
Yeah. So Cash is in the book Alex's main bodyguard, and he's like a big, huge, like Texas guy. And then Amy's there too as another bodyguard / Secret Service worker, but they just got rid of Cash, and just, I think that's supposed to be Amy.
It is Amy
in the movie, but they've erased all of Amy's character in the movie. But I'll rant about that in another section, because that's one of my
favorites.
They didn't? Mm-mm. It's not really mentioned or anything.
It's not. It's not explicit at all.
Right. So I didn't like that.
No. But it's Amy is played by a trans actor, and they are they're a big advocate and do a lot of work for the community. So that was my input for that.
Excellent. There's another input.
Thank you. there is also, when I know you were like, this is in the book, not the movie. When I know Alex is full of himself, but he doesn't want to hear the tabloids. He wants his sister to read him fan fiction about himself. And I love that. And it just makes me wonder how many people read fan fiction about characters they play. I feel like you have to be curious.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people kind of go dabble into it a little, and then they're like, okay, I'm good now. And
they get to that one and they're like, okay, we're just gonna put that away.
Yeah, exactly. But anytime fan fiction shows up in a story, a book, or a movie or whatever, I'm there for it. So
yeah. All right, now to Alex and Henry, unless you guys have a favorite moment you want to talk about.
I do, but they're like, I wrote them out in later sections. I have favorite scenes.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for the turkeys. Don't worry.
Yeah. But I do really love in the movie, I agree with you, the Amy Alex moment on the plane about looking at pictures of dogs. That was one of my favorite moments. That was really cute. And it wasn't in the book, which made it more special. Honestly, one of my favorite moments in the book is probably the karaoke scene. I prefer that scene in the book than the movie, because there's a lot more going on with the other characters, and like Henry's in like that robe, and yeah, I like that scene. It was much more of like an open and free Henry because of the context, versus like the movie did it really quickly, and it like meant the same thing, but it like, it didn't have as much depth of like Henry really being like unabashedly himself in that moment.
Yeah, all the montages you see in the movie are like basically separate scenes in the book.
Yeah, totally.
But Alex and Henry, I feel like their
rivalry is fairly similar in both things, because I mean, it's based on them, but I feel like Alex seems more open to being bi in the movie than in the book, because it takes him a lot longer to like kind of accept himself. And he was like trying to convince himself he wasn't straight for a while. Cause in the book it says straight people, he thinks, probably don't spend this much time convincing themselves they're straight.
I love that line.
It's such a good one.
Go ahead, Bri.
I was just going to say that I really enjoy that they kept the same, I guess I'd call it flavor of their rivalry. And how I think you can tell that they read the book, that I really think the actors read the book. So honestly, it shows. So that was pretty much, yeah. There were the moments that they did have in both were really done well. And I think that we're just kind of people that really like all of the background info. So there'll be times when we're like, well, it's a shame that we don't get to see that. So, but I did think they kept the flavor of the rivalry.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And the you know, again, it's a 90-minute movie. They like had to condense a lot. So like the pacing in the movie was good, which is not always the case in movies.
120 minute.
That's close to 90 minutes.
Okay.
10 minutes off. I estimating.
I said 120, not 100.
Oh, sorry. Whatever. You know what I mean? Versus a book, like a not 400 plus page novel. Right, like, yeah. You know, you're going to have to cut things, like, obviously. So I think the pacing was really good, which isn't always the case. What I didn't really love is that, like, I don't like how they changed the rivalry, like when it started, because in the movie, because they made it like almost a couple years before the movie starts. So mm-hmm. It's like they haven't been rivals for that long, which mm-hmm. doesn't like add to the tension of the rivalries to lovers trope, because in the book that started when like Alex was 13 years old. So it's like been a decade that they've like been in this situation where there's like tension, and like Alex like kept a picture of like from a magazine of Henry, and he's like, I don't understand why, but I can't stop looking at this picture. And it added to the whole tension part because it's been going on for so long.
I guess when watching the movie, because I assumed that was the case for some reason. Like, in my brain went, oh, okay, so they've known of each other for even longer than this, and I don't know why in my brain I just thought that.
Yeah, maybe no, they say it. They say 2021 in the movie.
Everything, I forgot started. That. I think I erased that part in my brain.
Yeah, it makes more sense that if he was 13, because it makes sense that he would hold a grudge over one meeting.
Yeah, no, right. Exactly. That's who Alex is. So, like, yeah, I think that, like, parts of Alex's personality kind of got erased when they made that little change, and it lessens the rivalry part for me and like the tension part.
It would have been easy to just say that, though.
I know.
To just have that be a little bit of background.
It would be interesting. Like, I want to know why they decided to change just that part.
Yeah, I understand why they're like climate conference versus like Olympics because politics, but mm-hmm. I don't know why they had to be like a year before this movie started.
So, yeah. I'm with Thea on this one again.
Yeah. So just for me, I prefer the long tension building. So I didn't like that change. But
unless the timeline of the parents in the politics has changed as well.
Well, here's the deal. Like, his mom would have been president at that time in 2021 because she's up for re-election and it's 2023. Mm-hmm. So, like, in order to be president, you have to be in politics for, like, a very long time before you're president. Typically, unless you're TV star.
Yeah.
Or Taylor Swift, and you're running for president. But, like, Alex's mom, because, like, he mentions, too, in the movie, she's like, you were the first female senator and like all this. So like, she's been in politics for a long time, so easily it could have been like, I was with my mom at this conference and I was 13,
right?
Like, easily could have still kept that. So I just don't,
because she would have had to been super high profile within her party to even be considered for a presidential run.
Exactly.
But
one sec, sorry.
Scene. Okay, Caitlin, what were you saying before I had technical difficulties?
Well, I was going to talk about how in the movie, when Henry and Alex first see each other again, Henry does snub him because Alex was trying to be nice and be like, hey, how's it going? Or something like that. And Henry just walks away from him.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to like Henry over Alex right now. I understand why you guys like him. I like him. It's not like I don't like him. It's just that Alex tried harder.
He did.
And
he
then
did.
Drank too much. But
yes. It all went downhill from there. Yeah, that was definitely more overt in the movie, the wedding scene. But yeah. One thing I will add. So when talking just about their entire arc, like the rivalry to lover thing, one thing I liked a lot better in the book too was like you mentioned the quote where Alex was like trying to process all of this. There's more processing that happens in the book versus in the movie. In the movie, he tells Nora and he's just like, I've already hooked up with a guy before. So it was like he was kind of already there, and it wasn't which I kind of like the change, because then it's not about Alex coming out. Which is totally
fine. He still did.
Yeah, I guess like he came out, but it's not about him. Am I queer? Am I not queer? It wasn't about that part. It was just about I got publicly outed because of this relationship. It was kind of that's what it was, which I'm down for that angle. Like we have tons of coming out stories. Like I'm totally fine. The thing that I liked about his process and journey in the book is then we get the wait, that stuff I was doing with my friend. Younger.
Oh yeah, the Liam Travis Liam character. Oh my gosh, I'm like, wait a minute. How do you not know that if you do something?
Which I just love the like oblivious nature of that from Alex's point of view. He's like, that stuff we were doing, was that gay?
I don't care if you're practicing, it's still gay shit.
Listen, you say that, but I literally, my best friend when I was, you know, younger, was like, it's okay, that doesn't make us gay. And I'm like,
you're both gay, okay, now, cool, though, right?
Huh?
You're both gay right now, aren't you?
Well, she's bisexual.
Okay.
Queer. Yeah.
Queer. But yeah, so I like the whole stuff with Travis, and I liked Travis's character when Alex called him. He's like, what the fuck are you calling? Like that character. And the fact that Alex was like looking back through his life and he's like, wait, I've been doing queer stuff this whole time.
I've been pretty gay. I didn't even know it. Gay. That was me. I mean, like, yeah. I literally said that to myself. So, that doesn't make me gay.
The guy was so, like, not very nice when he called. I mean, to be fair, it's really weird to get a call from the president's son out of the blue.
Yeah.
Who probably, you knew that it was gay shit, and he didn't, and he was probably playing
You're like,
it
excuse
off,
me?
And...
You didn't?
Right. Well, whatever. It's like it seemed like they parted ways like way back when, and like Travis went on his gay journey and I was just Liam. Like I'm not gonna think about this, and like so yeah, there's some tension there, unresolved tension, so it's not weird for Travis to be like, oh, what the fuck are you calling me? Like I get that. Why,
if his name is Travis, who is Liam?
Oh, Liam, sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Liam. I'm like, am I remembering this? There's a lot of characters in the book.
No, there's a lot of names, and just like Travis, Texas, like it's just in my brain. So Liam, sorry, Liam. That's why I kept messing. When we were doing Heartstopper, I kept calling Isaac in the beginning Liam, because I was reading this book, I kept just mixing up the names, so I apologize. Liam, not Travis, there is no Travis.
Theor also just has trouble with names in general.
Yeah, so. I'm bad with names. Word. I also didn't read it. So like things commit to my memory better when I see it.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Or
you
write
listen
it.
To
it.
I can't listen
I was
to
audiobooking this until I found the collector.
My brain will just go, whew, what is that little dot on the wall? And then I will miss half a chapter. So
I listen to them while I commute. So like
Yeah.
So
I would
time.
Understand that commute.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's why I screw up names a lot. Just if I don't see it, it's harder to stick in my brain. So sorry, Liam.
That's why I put the subtitles on TV now, because I can remember people's names better now.
Oh my god, I need to do that with Wheel of Time, because I keep missing stuff, and I'm like, what
it's
were
so
those words?
Helpful. Except words. For one thing, in a future episode, I'll tell you. Like it gave away like a fairly big plot line for the episode. I'm like, well, damn it. Subtitles. And then it switched back. So you did, in case you didn't miss it, you missed. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, also I put emails here because I wasn't really sure where to put it. And apparently I thought that was like their rivalry because afterwards.
This is rivalry two lovers, the whole arc. So,
okay. Yeah, you're fine. All right. So the emails, one thing I really enjoyed about reading all the emails in the book was that they always signed it differently. Mm-hmm. And the amount of things that Alex came up with to do the acronym HRH, I didn't write them down, but like they're all hilarious. And it's never once, His Royal Highness. But no. One of Henry's emails is for first son of making me spill my tea in said early morning meeting. And it's just, it was always great. And then they also include lines from other public figures' letters, which I find really ironic considering their private letters. And now theirs are out.
Oh, that's a really good point. Yeah, like the Hamilton one. But I did like that in the book too, because it just, again, it adds to the depth of like queer historical people of existence. It's forever. And also like it shows how much like the two of them really do care about history and things like that, which I like that aspect of their characters. But that's funny, the irony of like these are private letters and you're reading them and they're about to go public again. So
yep.
But I knew they were screwed when they're like emailing each other this shit. I'm like, guys, you never write this stuff down. Like,
yeah.
Come now.
Okay, the things that they wrote down in those letters.
Yes, the things they wrote down in the letters. Oh, dear Lord.
I mean, to be fair, if I was them, I probably wouldn't think about it either. But, like, you're sharing stuff that's covered under an NDA with each other, who he definitely doesn't have clearance to know about this shit.
Yeah.
And now the whole world, like, the things that the world knows about in those letters.
Oh, they know. They know many things. Why did Henry spill the tea, guys? They all know.
Like, they talk on the phone, too. Why didn't they just talk?
Because you always want to be talking to each other. It doesn't matter if it, like, you can't talk on the phone all the time, so.
I meant the secretive stuff.
There's
no paper trail.
That would be smart, but they were having hormones, and that makes you not smart.
They were having horny thoughts, Caitlin. That doesn't lead to good brain activity.
I mean, it's because, easy for us to say after the fact, right?
Yeah. Or not being in their position. Yeah.
Yeah. Put us in their position. See what happens.
All right. So one thing I want to talk about that's, I guess, book versus movie is the White House trio stuff. So the White House trio does not exist in the movie. So the characters in who compose the White House trio are Alex, obviously, Nora, and then June Claremont Diaz, who's Alex's sister, who was cut out completely from the movie. So I just wanted to, what were your thoughts on like the existence and non-existence of the White House trio?
Okay, so the first thing I ever wrote for this section is like I get that time is limited, but I really wish that there was a subplot for the other characters. Because it erased so much in the book. And I get that the book is big. But then I read something that the director said that he always wanted to be just Alex and Henry. So anything that wasn't centered around them was going to get cut.
Yeah.
Because basically he was a huge... Matthew Lopez was the director. And is the director. And he's a huge fan of the books. And this is basically his fan art for the book. Which so he's awesome. Like, Alex and Henry all the way. However, I still would like the other characters.
I want a whole ass other movie for the other characters.
I do too. And I'm like, even if there was a sequel, you still couldn't do all the things that like happened when they were outed because of all those secrets. And it's just, there's so much that happened that they couldn't even do. But I would like to see a spinoff for Beatrice and Nora. Anyway. I think that it's okay that they combined June and Nora, but
kind of
they needed to change Nora more. They needed to make her closer to Alex.
I agree.
Be a sister figure. Because one of the things that was so meaningful is that in the book that Alex and Henry both had an older sister that they wanted to protect themselves. And so they bonded over that connection as well. And they just don't have it.
Yep.
So there's less that connects them.
Yeah. The Nora Alex thing didn't read, I feel, the way it was supposed to. It didn't seem like a strong bond for all the reasons you just said. And it was like Nora, and in the movie, the way they explain why Nora's there is they're like, she's the daughter of the vice president. Mm-hmm. So like, that's the same kind of thing of being to me as the Rio Olympics to the 2021 climate conference change. It reduces the depth of their relationship because it sounds more like situational, like they're forced together because their parents are in office, versus like they were childhood friends too, like Nora and Alex, and like they grew up together and like they dated a little bit, and like when he gets in the publicly outed, she volunteers to be the beard for a minute. Mm-hmm. And so like it shows how much trust and everything is between the two of them, and I feel like it just completely goes away in the movie, and it's just like it's almost like Alex is completely by himself, like more so in the movie than he is in the books, but like they don't really dive into his like isolation plot line, which I loved in the book. So like I don't know, Nora was like there to deliver lines to Alex versus like mm-hmm. be a person, which I didn't like, because Nora's a very cool character.
She was just not given enough. Like at one point we forget about her in the movie. I feel like, was she even there at the election in the movie? Because she didn't have a line.
I don't remember. She might have been sitting on a couch, but like, yeah, there's no lines for Nora. I understand cutting June. Like, I really do. Like, if you're just trying to make this all about Alex, like, sure. Cutting June was fine. But yeah, like, Nora was not the same, like, character, or like, did not have the same kind of familial relationship with Alex that she should have had if you're cutting June. Because, like, they were, the two of them were his support system. Like, you know, so it's just like Alex had no support system and it didn't seem to matter in the movie, which is weird because that was Alex and his support system is so huge.
Someone that understands him and that's there for him.
Yeah.
Like, besides Henry, because like he needs someone to talk to.
Right.
It reads very surface on screen.
Exactly. Yeah. It's two dimensional.
It's really sad.
Yeah. And like Beatrice too, like she's kind of which I understand in the movie why Beatrice is also like two dimensional. She's like Nora. She's just like there to deliver lines to Henry. But because like this is mostly from Alex's point of view, like even the movie reads as like an Alex point of view thing. So like Beatrice is going to be even less of a thing in the movie because like it's mostly centered around Alex, really. And then Henry kind of orbits Alex.
What I had to do is I had to think of the movie as a fan fiction. Once I realized like that Matthew was like a huge fan of the book and that's basically what he was doing, like, okay, if this is a fan fiction, this makes sense of why these characters barely have anything to do with it, because you erase stuff basically.
Yeah.
Like you just
to center
that
the
does give it a different perspective. Yeah.
No, that's so good. That's really what it is. The movie is super a fan fiction.
Yeah. So it definitely helps, I think. But you have to have read the book as well, because I think this is kind of a, I like that you got to read the book first, see? Because it's more of like, when I watch something, I like watch it and then go read the fan, because you're not going to read the fan fiction before you see the show.
Yeah, exactly. So
this, it's basically backwards here.
Yeah, I got the canon, then the fan fiction movie.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we didn't get June and Nora, really, the OGs in the movie, but, like, what did you think of them, I guess, overall, as characters?
Just real quick, the book does a great job explaining the roles of each of them. Which, so agreed. Alex pushes them, definitely. Alex pushes everybody.
He does.
June steadies them, and Nora keeps them honest. And these are all pillars of, like, things that they need, and so like that's what we're missing basically in the movie. But I really loved the three of their relationship, because I mean they're very isolated in sense, all of them, because of who their families are.
Yeah, exactly.
So them being together and being so close to the point where Nora is willing to date Alex just to be his beard. And then June also
is, June.
Yeah, June is Henry's beard.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, it was so meaningful in the book. And I do love them. I love the relationship of all of them.
Yeah, I agree. I hit the nail on the head. I like that they tried to keep Nora's like nerdiness in the movie too, because she's like this data whiz. And they did try to keep that. Like some of her language was like, well, statistically, you're like 99% bisexual or like whatever. Or like they kept that kind of language in there to be like, yeah, no, it's Nora, the data girl. Because that was her big contribution to like the campaign. Like she did all the numbers for like polling numbers and things like that. And she's like a really important person in the campaign in the books. And so they kind of kept that, but like, again, erased her plotline.
And they kept the drinking game.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. So, and then I love June and Nora and Alex for all the reasons you said, that the support system. And I like that you brought up the fact that something all the characters I think really have in common, like the three of them, the White House trio, and then Henry, Beatrice, maybe Pez to an extent, is that they're high profile people. So because of that, they're in the public eye. And so they have this, I think they end up bonding over that because they're in this unique position where like you have bodyguards and like you're limited about where you can go and like who you can talk to, and you have to sign NDAs and things like that. So I think that like that helps foster the ultimate friendship all of them make with each other. And so, yeah, I like them a lot as characters, and Nora's like a queer person and kind of helps Alex through his journey a little bit. And they're just ride or die friends, you know, I love that about them.
I feel like Nora really wasn't that queer in the books either.
No, nope. I feel like, that's a gripe I have later. The movie erased a lot of the other queerness in my mind. It might have been there, but not discussed. But like, the book is way queerer than just like Alex and Henry.
But like, I don't remember her like that really being addressed.
Nora?
In the book.
Yeah, they definitely talk about it. Like, it's mentioned. Like, okay. Her and Alex talk about it.
All right.
Yeah. Fine. Like, I don't think she has I don't think she has a label, but she's like definitely fluid or stuff like that.
I love Caitlin. All right, fine.
I don't know. It was a long book, and
yeah, it's a long book. You can't remember everything.
Yeah, I've only read it once, so like I can't argue it. Because there's so much, like there's so much to remember. Basically, I can remember the scene. I didn't remember that they went to a museum in the movie. So then it was, there's too many scenes. So let's continue.
Speaking of scenes, I hope you remember the 75,000 cake disasters.
If you don't, mean
the one that's on the posters?
Yeah, the one that's in your face. Okay, so I thought this was a notable scene to talk about because it's like the PR scheme that really like kicks off.
This is what you told me about this movie. Like, this is the only thing I knew going into watching this movie is the $75,000 cake.
Yeah. So basically, like, it's the wedding cake at Philip and his, I forget the woman, Margaret? It doesn't matter. And his wife's cake or whatever at the royal wedding. And Alex and Henry, of course, get into a kerfuffle and they knock over the cake. And it gets leaked to social media because of phones and the press and stuff. And so the PR scheme is born from this. And the importance of this is that Alex's mother is up for re-election. So she's ending her first term as president. And so in the United States, you only get to be president twice, basically. And so she's kicking off the campaign. And so what a wonderful time for her son to like topple over the royal wedding cake.
I mean, that's what you have kids for, right? To bring interesting stuff and
to keep you on your life.
Oh my god.
Okay.
So thoughts.
I have a gripe about this scene though.
Do it.
All right, let's hear it.
Because I feel like the media blew this out of proportion.
Of course.
Like cake gate.
Of course.
Like, come on. All right. They're acting like Alex went into this building, was like, that cake, I do not like it. Let me push it down. All right. No, it was a freaking accident. Okay, maybe you shouldn't use it as a drink table.
and get icing on your hand and then get the icing all over the prince, because
that probably not
in itself. But I believe Henry also puts the glass on the cake. So it is equally their fault. However, it was an accident. And I think that the royal people were not that smart, because they should have just had a fake foamy cake and had one little spot that was actually cake for the couple to cut out and, like, you know, smash in the face. But that's probably not royally, and so
that's American. That's an American idea.
Whatever, I don't care. Okay, and then had a bunch of sheet cake in the kitchen cut up, and it would have been a lot
that's
cheaper.
The most American thing I've heard. We got a bunch of sheet cake in the kitchen.
I'm just saying, like, it would have been cheaper. It would have not had this incident happen. Oh, but their secret would have been out because they would have had sheet cake instead.
Yes, you can't have sheet cake if you're royal. Didn't you know that?
I love that the whole point is extravagance.
Yes, I love, Caitlin, the fact that you're so charged up about the fake, the scene and the fictional PR thing. That's my favorite part.
Because I went into looking at the most expensive cakes for this scene, like, because I was curious.
Yeah.
So Prince William and Kate's cake cost $80,000.
Jesus Christmas.
Diana and
Charles.
They had like 27 cakes, I believe, and one cost $56,000 or 60 something like that. It might be 90 something.
Mm-mm.
And then, hold on. Let me get this, because this is ridiculous. This wasn't an actual wedding, but it was like the big gay wedding show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is either, I think it's $50 million.
How?
For this cake.
Why? How do you do that?
There was crystals on it. Also, why? I didn't really, okay,
crystals or something?
No. I think... So another person had Swarovski crystals on their cake.
Was at least it wasn't on their person like Doja Cat.
And this is why we're all poor, guys.
It was
wealth inequality.
Oh, it was Gucci Mane.
Oh my god.
And Keisha.
Gross.
I believe they had $2,500 Swarovski crystals in between each of their tiers. Jesus. So they're okay. So that makes sense, because it wasn't, they weren't eating them. But it, if you just look, okay, if anybody listening, watching, go just look up National Gay Wedding Show cake. It costs $52 million. It does not look like it should cost that much. I don't understand how this costs that much.
Caitlin, you're going to have to put up an image of the cake.
I just sent it to you.
I mean, for the people.
They can do the work. The audio people have to do the work. We'll decide later. But it just makes no sense. It was an 8-tiered cake decorated with a meager, that's what the article says, meager, 4,000 diamonds.
And that's why. There's fucking gems in it.
It looks like
Something I can get at the grocery store.
Exactly. This looks like it
does not look
grocery store cake.
No, I'm not saying
they messed up the bottom.
Cake, but like, I'm sure a lot of work went into this. I just don't understand where all the crystals are. Like, are you eating the crystals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure whoever made this spent an enormous amount of time doing it. But yeah, what the heck are you doing?
Everything on the cake needs to be edible.
Exactly.
Because, or like, are people like painstakingly taking off crystals and then selling them on the black market?
I don't know. You get to keep the crystals and take them home.
Or did no one eat the cake and it was just for show?
Oh, I mean, there's that too.
I love this conspiracy.
$52 million.
That could have bought a lot of queer media.
At least we could have done we could have started a production company.
Yes, well, at least Alex and Henry did not ruin a $52 million cake. It was only $75,000.
Sorry,
which seems on par for a royal wedding.
The detour. Okay, continue.
It's just a super classic rom-com type scene, and that's why it's my favorite. just because it, as soon as that happened, it's when I knew I'd like the movie. And I was, it's when I got really into it is when all that went down, because it was so classic, and you don't get that in queer rom-coms. Like they're usually not that, I mean, it's cheesy, but it's well executed. And that's the point.
In my head, I was just like, wonder what it's like to have a huge cake like that fall on you. And then I just really wanted to have a food fight.
Well, maybe after the strike, we can ask the actors what it was
Yes.
Okay, so another scene I kind of wanted to talk about that I think was big and monumental is like the hospital. So then after the cake incident, they do a PR, joint PR thing at a hospital, a children's hospital. And I think this is when you, for me, when you first start to see like the depth of Henry. So in the book and in the movie, Henry purposely goes into the cancer ward. So in the movie, you see him talking to this girl and she has like a headscarf on and like indicating that like she has leukemia and things like that. So, and in the book, you want, I think in maybe in both, it's the reason he does that pretty habitually is because his father died of cancer, pancreatic cancer to be specific. So Henry, to pay homage to him, visits like cancer wards. And I think for me, the fact that he does it so often really like you start to see like the depth of Henry's grief really over his father, because like they were really close and things like that.
Yeah.
I really liked this scene. It was just very cute. One thing in the book, I feel like you see more of them not really thinking about it as a PR stunt. Like they weren't there for the cameras, where in the movie, I feel like they're, it looked like it was just more for show. You did get that like short shot of Henry with the kid, but.
And Alex too. He does like a reading or puppet show or something in the movie.
Oh yeah.
It's really quick.
But yeah, it's just not enough. And it was just like that whole thing of them like not even realizing, like the kid falls asleep next to Alex, I believe. And like, they're just with them for so long and you just don't get that much in the movie, which I mean, again, I guess.
Yeah.
You like we said, you lose the depth of it and you lose some of the characterization. So unfortunate, but there you do with the loss of Henry's father have you get this, I guess a kind of like identified with him in that aspect when he's going to, you know, like this isn't just going to see sick kids for him. It's a way to connect with people that understand, you know, his grief and where his sorrow over his father's, it's almost like a healing thing.
Yeah, totally.
So I totally get that. And I enjoyed that whole aspect.
Okay, one little thing that is missing, and like, yeah, things are going to be missing from the movie, obviously, but thing in the book that was mentioned that I loved is when Henry is talking to that child and he's trying to comfort her, and he's like, they start talking about Star Wars, which comes up multiple times in the books about Henry, like Henry likes Star Wars, and she mentions something about like the girl he's talking to mentioned something about wanting to kiss Han Solo. And he's like, I think you have the right idea. And okay. So what I love about this is, first of all, it's like, I see you, girl. Like, and Alex is compared to Han Solo a lot during the books. So it's like foreshadowing. And I love that Henry's like love of Star Wars is really, it gives you a good hint of his character. Cause the whole point of Star Wars and like siding with like Han Solo and like the rebels, quote unquote, is that the rebels were like against the Empire, and the Empire, AKA the British Empire. So it's interesting that the Prince of England is like, yeah, go rebels. When in that context, like he would be the Empire. So I do like that. It tells you kind of like who Henry is, where his values lie. Cause he does things in the books like start like youth centers and things like that. Like he doesn't take the royal money. Like he doesn't act like a typical like heir to the throne, I guess. And so the other comparison I love is that Alex catches on to this, and like then Henry gets like the Leia comparison, because again, princess royalty of the rebels. So I love that with Henry. And I just love that banter like just continues, because there are definitely parallels between like those two characters. So I like that it starts here, like in the Cancer War, and it just like kind of keeps going throughout the book. It's cute.
Very cute. And that's the thing about injecting pop culture references into books. For me, there has to be like a really good reason for it to be there. And there's a really good reason. So yeah. 10 out of 10.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry.
They're just singing to you.
They are.
Did we go through them in the closet?
I'm gonna go back.
Okay.
Because this
circling down. Back that just tied in.
Got it. I was like, I don't think she said all of this, so that's why.
Okay, no, go ahead. Yeah. So if that's all for the Cancer, I'm gonna go to the next scene. All right, so after they're done with the Cancer, like while they're in between all of that, there's an incident where loud noises happen and it's potentially gunfire. So the Secret Service / their bodyguards basically just like shove them in a closet, like the irony of that I love, while they handle the situation to make sure like the two are not in actual danger. And what I love about this scene is that this is really the first time ever, regardless of book, movie, that they are alone out of the public eye. Like, it's the very first time. And I think this is the moment, a moment where Alex really sees behind Henry's mask, because a lot of the tension from Alex's point of view is that Henry appears a certain way. You know, he appears very like standoffish and like not, and he's always like, he's not even human. He like doesn't have a personality and all this stuff, but it's like Henry's a royal and he has to act a certain way in public. And this is the very first time they're not in public. And so Alex sees Henry kind of like the real Henry for the very first time. And to me, like the humanity of Henry in the scene all circles back to like why they're in this hospital in the first place. It comes back to the death of Henry's father. And the reason the snub happened in the first place that Alex has been harboring this grudge over is that Henry was upset over his father's death. And he's like, I couldn't be around anybody at that time. Like, I was so lost in my grief. And it's something that Henry carries forever, is the grief of his father. And so like to have the context, Alex is finally like, oh, well, now I kind of like, I was kind of being a dick to you. Like, I just didn't know that part. And there's parts during, towards the end of the book, after they deal with the public outing, where Beatrice and Alex together are discussing Henry's grief. And I think it comes back to this first, very first moment when Alex learns about this. Beatrice mentions to Alex that, Henry and her were very young when their father died. And she's like, the type of grief that Henry feels, that we were feeling, basically like we were feeling it at a time where like your brain isn't even fully developed at that time. And it's like impossible to cope with that kind of grief. And it's why Henry throughout the book, throughout the movie, has these dark days and these depressive episodes. And Beatrice basically says that it's all back to this trauma, because, you know, Henry doesn't know how to cope with like bad things when they happen now, because he was so severely traumatized at his time when he didn't know how to deal with it. And that kind of stuck with him. And having this bad thing happen so young, she's basically like, every time he feels something bad, like everything bad feels so monumental, just like the loss of his father. So it's very easy for Henry to just spiral more than the average person. And he's somebody who's always going to carry the grief, and that's just who Henry is. And what's so beautiful about this, when Alex hears the full extent of this later with B, he's basically like, he doesn't judge Henry for that. It doesn't turn him away from Henry. At that point, he's known him for so long that he's like, I just want to understand what's happening. But Alex understands that he kind of can't. It's like, it's something that Henry's always going to have. And he's like, I love him regardless, with the grief and all. And he just, gets into this position where he's like, I just have to learn to support you when you're having dark days and things like that. So it's like, this is something that haunts Henry his whole life. And Alex, once he really starts to understand that, like, this big thing really shaped Henry into who he is, he just really learns to, like, love him with all his flaws and, like, learn to support him when he's feeling like that rather than, like, start another rivalry, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I really like that them getting forced into the closet, like, really forced them to talk. Because, I mean, the biggest thing is that he misunderstood Henry, because I need to get out of here is definitely different than get me out of here.
Yeah.
And I feel like if Alex would have heard those words, maybe he wouldn't have felt the same way. But I think because of his anxiety of being there, because he talked about how this was in the movie, because this wasn't,
yeah, this is the movie.
This, mm-hmm. The book, it wasn't like this, but that this was his first time out in public. So he was like kind of like counting on, which is also weird because he was definitely in past, yep, things, but whatever.
Yep.
But for the purpose of that scene in the movie, he was hoping that Henry could help him through it. But so they're both just at very hard parts of their life right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is no way for them to actually know those deeper things in those moments. So it made sense.
I do like that in the movie, neither of them was actually an asshole to the other.
It, yeah,
was just like, no, fully misunderstanding. So, yeah, it was like very easy to,
absolutely,
be like, oh, okay, so you're not an asshole.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, the banter that happens when they think that is, yeah, fun. And I wouldn't erase that. I like,
yeah,
that.
Not at all. It was great. Speaking of tension.
Misunderstandings. Let's talk about the Thanksgiving turkey scenes. Because I know Caitlin has thoughts. I have thoughts about.
This is my longest scene I have notes for.
I know. I'm excited for this. I want to hear all of your thoughts.
Do you want to go first, Theora?
Okay. First of all, I just want to set the scene. If you haven't, like, if you haven't read and or watched the book. So in the movie, basically, it's very fast. It's just Alex is on the phone with Henry and they're talking on the phone. Okay. And he's got this big turkey in his room because in America, there's this weird America. We have to prove we're merciful while celebrating the slaughtering of the indigenous people by not killing two turkeys ceremonially and then later eating turkey. So it doesn't make any sense. It's like this big show of like, we're merciful. It doesn't make any sense. So it's a thing, pardoning of the turkey, where the president pardons selected turkeys and they just get to live their happy turkey lives. So in the movie, Alex has the turkey and he's on the phone with Henry and he's complaining that the turkey is scary and he's like, it's in my room and blah, blah, blah. And then like they go on to have like a very long phone conversation. Okay. In the movie, you miss the full context of that scene though, because in the book, Alex is a lot more politically involved. And when it comes time for the pardoning of the turkey, he learns that what they normally do is they house the turkeys in their own separate hotel room. So it costs the taxpayers a bunch of money to house the turkeys. And he's like, that's stupid. What a waste of money. Just keep them at the White House. And he convinces his mom to save money by putting them in his room. So the fact that the turkeys are in his room is Alex's idea. So in the movie, it just looks like he just got dumped in his room, but it's like, they're in there because of Alex.
And but then, he literally begged her to put him in.
Exactly. It's, yeah, this is 100% his fault because he asked for this explicitly. So that is lost in the movie and makes this whole thing funnier for me. And because he's so freaked out about the turkey, he calls Henry and it is the very first time they talk on the phone. So that context is also lost in that scene in the movie. So I have a problem with it because it removes the importance of the fact that they're on the phone with each other. And that was actually really huge because they had never really done that before. And it turns into this extremely long phone conversation they have. And it's a very meaningful moment that is, the context is lost in the movie. And I don't like that because I think that context is really, really important for like their relationship pacing and development. Okay, Caitlin. Take it away.
The first thing I say is that the scene needed to be a lot longer. Because it is so good. I love the book scene so much.
It's good.
I love that Alex is so stressed out because it's his fault that the turkeys are in his room. But that's not why he's stressed out. He's stressed out because the turkeys won't stop gobbling. And he thinks that they're going to pull a Jurassic Park and kill each other if he leaves the room. Or kill him if he sleeps in the room. And I have a part of this. And I'm just going to read this how I think it's in his head.
I think is this in his head or is this what he calls
it? No, it's text. Okay. So this is what I'm thinking his brain is going like, they know, he texts Henry. They know I have robbed them of 5-star combinations to sit in a cage in my room. And the minute I turn my back, they're going to feast on my flesh. So basically he has guilt about eating turkey for Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, 100%.
In the book, it's 2 turkeys. In the movie, I believe it's just 1 turkey.
Yeah.
So also, I forget what the one is. It cranberry?
I was just thinking that. Like, what were their names? Was it like corn cob and like it was something kitschy? I can't remember.
No, the one turkey's name is called stuffing, which I feel like you shouldn't name a turkey stuffing because it's kind of like turkey stuffing. It's like naming a pig bacon.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, so
it's so American though. I'm gonna name you after your ultimate destination and then pardon you from that destination. It's so funny.
I'm pretty sure it's like cranberry sauce and stuffing or something. Oh yeah, like that.
It's stupid.
But there are leaves. Why are there always leaves? When Henry pops up into the room, leaves. Oh are yeah, explode. Leaves.
Heartstopper reference.
Yes,
it's all one cinematic universe, guys. Because, all
right, so we started with the tree in Exo Kitty with those like. There's a tree in this thing. Too.
Yeah, kissed by a tree.
And then we got the leaves in Heartstopper, and now there's more leaves and trees. So basically, leaves and trees mean you're gay.
Yeah, we have a whole conspiracy happening.
The leaves in Grey's Anatomy, where she realizes, she's like, when I put my glasses on for the first time, I could see the leaves.
Oh, yeah. I had that moment in real life, though, with actual leaves and glasses. But
it's because you're gay, Caitlin.
Okay. I was like you're gay. 12, and I was like, my God, the trees have leaves on them. Anyway. But, like, we were robbed.
Yeah,
we were robbed of Alex trying to make Henry listen to the turkey gobble.
Yeah, that was so funny.
Just listen to it. Good. Nothing. He's like, oh yeah, they sound ferocious.
Yeah, Henry's half asleep. It was a cute scene.
I needed that in movie form. I feel like they could have totally pulled it off. I mean, they're really good with comedic timing.
They should have just had like, they're gonna eat me.
Yeah,
like after me. Listen to it, and then nothing happens. Like they could have done it really quickly, and it was such.
I wonder if they did, and they just cut it.
Oh my gosh!
Send us the bloopers, please, or extended scenes.
We do have bloopers. Did you see them?
There's a few.
Yeah,
I haven't seen any.
I want to say just released 2 days ago.
I just want to say one thing off the leaves. One thing I did like, because again, in this, what made this particular scene in the book so huge was the fact that this is the first time they talk on the phone and it's such a long conversation that Alex has to plug his phone in because his phone was like dying during the conversation. So what I do love is how they kind of like did this in the movie versus like having like a long distance phone call. I like that they had Henry there with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how it felt to Alex. And there's internal monologue from him, like when he's laying on the bed, I think, and talking to Henry and about to hang up, where he like kind of pictures Henry there and like what it would be like. He starts thinking like, what would it be like if Henry was with me? So I do like that in the film because like that is what Alex was thinking in the book. So I did like how they did that versus like having like a split screen mm-hmm. where it's like Henry in his palace with David versus like Alex by himself with the turkeys and like just having a split screen. I like that they put them together. First of all, because then you get to see the actors acting together, which is way nicer. But also like this is told from Alex's point of view and that is exactly what he was thinking in that scene in the book. So I did like that twist.
Yes. Also, I really liked how the sound editor edited it too.
Yes.
For his voice to sound like God. It was on the phone and he was still there.
That was really clever.
That was awesome.
How like as a reader, like as an audience member, like you're like it just that was so good because I love it.
It drives the point home.
It was good. Yeah, drives a point home. Yeah.
Well, there's done. One thing that like irks me though is that they didn't have him plug his phone in, so Alex could have had his phone next to him and in like Henry's spot, because it didn't make sense that he was like faced towards Henry with his phone behind him, because the sound, it would have been weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. Like if he had AirPods in or something, maybe that would have made sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
No,
you're right.
Totally. Just one of those things.
But also, side note. Yes. In the book, Henry is watching the Great British Bake Off at the same time. And if Netflix had bought this movie instead of Amazon, there definitely would have been cameos and footage of that show in it.
And we could have got them in Celebrity Bake Off, and that would have been amazing.
Yes. And I need to see them interact with Prue and Paul. So yeah. If you haven't watched Bake Off, that's...
Oh my God, could you... All right, you know what? I'm making my own fan fiction here. They could...
I love
the kids' version, the Great Junior British Bake Off thing. Mm-hmm. They could have hosted like a hospital version one.
Aww. Oh, yeah.
And like volunteered there, and they were like the judges, and like that would be so cute.
That would be so cute.
All right, Caitlin's gonna write that fan fiction.
I don't have time. Any ideas I give you people, take them and run.
Just tag us after you do it.
Yeah, tag us if you write that fan fiction. We want to read it.
And with that, we've been Big Gay Energy. If you like this episode, check out all our other episodes on whatever you're using to listen right now. If you're listening on Apple, we'd really appreciate it if you left us a review, no matter how brief. It helps us get into Apple's algorithm to reach a wider audience.
Please feel free to reach out to us. We would love to hear from you about everything and anything. You can find us on all the social medias at Big Gay Energy Pod. Or email us at biggayenergypod@gmail.com. If you'd like to make friends with other queer media loving people, reach out to us to join our Discord server.
If you'd like to support us, check out our merch store or join our Patreon for early access to episodes, exclusive content, and so much more. Until next time, stay safe and hydrate for Lesbian Jesus.